Saul was told that David had fled to the desert of En-Gedi. Armed with 3,000 hand-picked men, he pursued David to the cliffs known as the Crags of the Wild Goats. Once there, he went into a cave to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." David instructed his men not to attack Saul, who left the cave and went on his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord the king!" When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say, 'David is bent on harming you'? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you." David showed him the piece of robe he cut off, making it clear he could have killed him. When David finished speaking, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today." Saul made David promise that when David became king, he would not harm any of Saul's family. David agreed, and the two men went their separate ways.
I am a man discovering destiny. I am a father leaving a legacy. I am the king of Israel. I am David.
Good, are we on? Yep, good. Good morning. Do you know, I thought when I came in this morning, what a fantastic smell of bacon. And that's got to be one of the most enjoyable smells to come into, of a cooking smell. But it did just get me thinking about the Word of God, funnily enough. And, you know, sometimes when we open the Word of God up, it's like we're coming to a feast. You know, we can go, "Oh, do you know, that's good." You know, when you're expecting to go out for a meal, and, you know, and you go, "Oh, I'm going to eat well today. I'm going to eat really well." Sometimes coming to the Word of God is like that. You know, we know that we're just going to be feasted. Other times it's a bit medicinal. You know, sometimes, you know, we know it's good for us, and it helps us to get better. And I don't know if that's for anybody. I'll throw it out there. But that was just some thoughts that came to me when we were worshipping. But let's just pray before I get into what we're talking about this morning. Father, I just thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that when we get it wrong, we can always come back to your Word. And that's our benchmark. And this morning, Lord God, we just want to have some revelation this morning. Lord, we want to feast on your word. We want to be fed. And Lord, if we need something for medicinal purposes this morning, then Lord, I just pray that you would be the best physician for us this morning, giving us what we need. Amen. So we're having a look at triumphing in the tough times. And if, you know, if we talk about tough times, that can be a very broad statement, but I think we can all spring to mind what a tough time is. You know, we have all been through tough times. Maybe some are in a season of a tough time. And that you read earlier, Claire, was absolutely brilliant because it covered so many of the kind of tough areas of life that we can face, and how the one God, our God, is there for us and there behind us, in front of us, and is the answer. But it would be good this morning to look at the life of David, and in particular, a tough time that he was going through, and just to consider, how did he approach that tough time? How did he get through that? What was his strategy? What were his thoughts? Well, let's just remind ourselves of where David's got to in his life up to this point. Because that's quite handy, that's quite useful to know what's gone on before up to this point. Thinking right back, he started out as a shepherd boy. He was the youngest brother, fairly insignificant. But we get the impression he was pretty good at his job. He had mastered the art of protecting his animals. He could fend off wolves, bears, lions, what have you. And so he was good. He was probably fairly content. You know, I can't remember what I was watching a while ago, but it was a history program. That's right. It was a history program, and I thought, you know, the most vulnerable position to be in our history would have been somebody in high ranking position near some of the barbaric kings and queens that we had over the years, because it was always them that seemed to get it. If you know, things turned the tide, and yet the lower down the ranks you were, the more you could hide in society and just have a fairly content life, keep your head down. And I think that was very much where he was coming from. He could keep his head down, he could enjoy what he'd got. And actually, even in God, I think he was in a good place. Because if you read the Psalms, you can see that those were written off the back of his days as a shepherd boy, where he was out in the hills and just enjoying something of the relationship of God. And you think, wow, that's a nice place to be. But then all of a sudden, some important person comes along and anoints him as the future king. And that, of course, was Samuel. And so all of a sudden, there's a change where he suddenly becomes a boy of destiny. There's a moment in time where the whole of his future changes, because he now has a destiny and a future and a purpose. Shortly after that time, he finds himself sought out to come into the services of Saul to soothe his raging tempers. Probably some high temperatures there as well. So as part of his destiny, he finds himself in a completely different environment. No longer out of that nice, safe, secure and enjoyable environment of keeping his head down. He suddenly starts to become a little bit more on the bigger arena of society. And then he really shoots to fame when he manages to have the whole Goliath episode, you know, and he struts out as a boy and defies all the rules of the day, and it's him that comes off that field as the champion, the victor. And you think, oh, brilliant, oh, you know, David's the man here, you know, he's, you know, it's all going really well. But from that moment on, Saul starts this jealousy that grows in him to the point where he starts to pursue David and he wants to take his life. And even so much so that he instructs those around him to go and kill David. As a result, David loses his best friend because they have to part company. We looked at that a few weeks ago. And he's forced to go on the run. What a great destiny that is. Can you just sort of imagine the sort of place mentally that he might have been at? Or maybe some of us have been at in those kind of moments where things have not quite turned out so well. And this type of thought process that we can be in danger of going down is, well, hold on a minute. This is not such a great destiny, Lord. You told me this, and it all seemed quite exciting at the time, and yet it's actually not. You know, look at my life now, from David's point of view. You know, I'm on the run. Somebody's trying to kill me. You know, I've look what I've done for him and for the nation of Israel, and now look at me. I'm on the run. Oh, for the days when I could have been back in the hills, looking after sheep, killing the odd wild beast. You know, and that was a tough time. That was a really tough time. It's interesting because if you look at the nation of Israel as a nation, they went through a similar thing when they came out of Egypt, didn't they? You know, they had been through a really tough time. And Moses manages to lead them out into the desert. And it's not long before they start to grumble. Phew, this is a bit hard, isn't it? Oh, you've promised us a land of our own. You've promised us this great future. And yet now look at us. We're in a desert. There's no food. There's no water. Well, actually, there was food and water, and they probably grumbled at that because it was the same every day. But they found things to grumble about. It was tough for them, so much so that they started to look back. If only we were in Egypt, at least we could die in some kind of comfort. And it's very easy to look back instead of to look forward. You know, Saul, when he starts to pursue David, when he goes out to pursue him, he takes 3,000 men with him. David had about 600. And, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for Saul. Saul, you know, he is out to get him. And David feels that. And he's very much aware that, you know, his any wrong move that he makes, then, you know, his life could be over. I love the Bible. I love the things that it slips in, that unusual things that we write about, we probably shouldn't write about. But, I mean, basically, Saul's gone to the toilet, hasn't he? That's why he's gone into the cave. And I don't really want to dwell too much on that. But let's just say that if it was a number one, he wouldn't have needed to go in a cave. And the reason why I'm... just think about it. Now, what we need to realise with the position that Saul has now put himself in is that in order to go and do that very personal activity, he needed to strip his armour off. He needed to withdraw. And he thought he was going to a place of safety where he could lay off his armoury and actually made himself a lot more vulnerable because he thought he was safe. And there is a point to the crudeness of what I'm talking about. And that is that actually there's a lesson there for us, because actually when we are in our private places, that is where we can actually be the most vulnerable. And that's often the battle of the mind. You know, in our heads, and when we're on our own, and when we withdraw, and when we perhaps think that, well, we're okay because there's nobody around us, we're actually more vulnerable, potentially, than we think that we are. And, you know, we need to learn from that imagery that, you know, that we need to be sort of careful, because actually Saul was not as safe as he thought he was. He was not safe to let his guard down and to strip off his armoury, because he had actually put himself into a far more vulnerable position than what it appeared to look like. So when we're going through a tough time, could I have that water, please? Thank you. When we're going through a tough time, you know, we need to make sure that we don't withdraw and become vulnerable. So that's a really important point. If you're writing things down, write that one down. Now, it's interesting what David actually does at this point in time. So bear in mind that David is very much aware that he has a destiny. What's his destiny? His destiny is to become the king of Israel. And he has an opportunity here to do something about his destiny. And in fact, the people around him, his men, his closest people, say to him, hey, look, you know, look who's in the cave. And they even say, this is the day that the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. So the situation is, here is Saul, who is the king of Israel, and he is trying to snuff out David's destiny by killing him. David's destiny is to take the place of king of Israel, to succeed Saul, ultimately. Saul's aware of that, but he is trying to snuff out his destiny. David has the opportunity right now, at this moment in time, to step right into his destiny by killing the king to become the king. He's gone through a tough time. You know, it would all fit. It would all bring an end to all of that suffering, all of that hardship, all of that tough stuff that he's going through. But what is his response? What is David's response at this moment in time? Well, it's this. He knows that he has that destiny. He knows what God's called him to do. He knows he knows what's ultimately to come. Tell us who it was when you came back. We're all dying to know. But it's interesting because what David's really grasped hold of is the context of this period of time that he's going through. Because what he realizes is his period of tough, his period of suffering, is this period of time that he's going through is not the destiny. His destiny is not to be on the run. His destiny is not to have his life snuffed out. His destiny is not to have the suffering that he's going through and the mental anguish and the physical and all that comes with it. He understands that. He understands that what he is going through is something that ultimately he will pass through, get to the other side in order that he can get to his destiny. So he's aware of that, and he's really understood what that means. He also knows that God anointed Saul as king. And it's therefore not David's job to remove him. That's God's business. It might not be how he feels. You know, there'd be moments where if only Saul could just be wiped out of this. But he says, I am not the one who's going to do that. Because I recognize that God put him in place, and therefore God can remove him. God told me what I would become, and therefore he will make that happen. I don't need to meddle with that. I don't need to mess about with the timings of that. I just need to trust him, and I need to make sure that I don't do anything that is outside of his will. Even if that means I've got to go through a tough time. He always made sure that the decisions that he made were in line with the will of God. It's interesting too, because he was prepared to influence those around him to make sure that they also acted in the will of God. Remember, he's got close people around him, people who equally know what God's destiny and call on David's life is, and are trying to advise him out of, I think, out of the right motives, but they had clearly got it wrong on this instance. David was very clear and very definite that they also need to be and remain in the will of God. So he forbade the men to attack Saul, even though they could have done. You know, in that instance, even though there were 3,000 men out somewhere outside, they knew that if they killed Saul, because of David's popularity, those men outside would have pretty much supported David, I think. That's me speculating. And it's interesting because when he goes through all of that, Saul goes outside, he gets himself dressed and disappears off back outside, initially unaware of what's happened. So clearly he would have taken all of his armor and clothes and robes and stuff, left them somewhere and gone somewhere else in the cave, and then got himself all sorted out and gone back again, unaware that actually a piece of his robe is now missing. And I just love that. It's a great bit of theater, isn't it? You can just sort of, you can see Hollywood making a good sort of scene out of that in a film, can't you? The moment where he realizes, actually, yeah, that could really have been it for me. And when David calls out, look what I could have done to you, but I didn't. And Saul recognizes what it is for what it is. He recognizes that actually that could have been the end for him. That was so near. That was so near the end. But what he recognized was that David was in the will of God. And interestingly, he also recognizes again that David will become king. So even though he is trying to snuff David out, he knows heart of hearts ultimately that he can't. And he just brings some recognition of that fact by endorsing very publicly that you will one day become king. So how do we apply some of that stuff to our own lives? If you're writing stuff down, write this down. One, know that you have a purpose and a destiny. Above all else, whatever you're going through at this moment or time, or what you've been through, or what will present itself, know that God has a purpose and a destiny for your life. Two, know that there will be tough times. You know, we're not immune to it. Do you know, I was thinking on the way over, you know, this morning, how we're called, you know, part of us being the church of Jesus here on earth, it's part of bringing the kingdom of God to this world we live in. And you think, oh, it's brilliant. You know, we've got a taste of, Molly, you were saying this morning, you know, we've got a taste of worship now, and there's something great coming in when we get to heaven and all of that. It also occurred to me this morning that, you know, we've got a taste of hell on earth as well, haven't we? I thought that when I got into some traffic difficulties and felt a bit cross, actually, on the way over. It just got me thinking that actually, as much as, you know, we're called to bring the kingdom of God into active, real, life-changing difference here on earth, which we are called to do, we need to be aware that we are fighting against another kingdom. And, you know, what we see when we put the bad news at 10 on is just a taste of how, you know, that's only the tip of it. How did I get onto that? There's stuff that happens that is not going to be easy. You know, we all know about it and we know that we're going to face it. Therefore, we need to be prepared for those times. Thirdly, don't shortcut your destiny. And this is really important because David had an opportunity to shortcut God's plan and get to the end result of what God said would happen, but to do it his way. And we need to be so careful that we don't meddle in God's plans. We need to be prepared to go with the flow of God's will, not try and change his will or not try and tell him how it should be. When I was 14, God told me on a specific morning, on a specific day, you were going to be a youth pastor. It was one of the clearest words of direction that God ever gave me. So I thought, fantastic. So in my head, I thought, right, what do I know about youth pastors? Right, well, I've looked through the Youth Work magazine. Yep, they're salaried, they work for a church, they're called this title, da 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 da. So I made choices in my life that were geared up to that. And when things ultimately didn't really happen like that, and I got to a point, I know I've shared some of this with some of you before, and I'll probably share with you again, because there's a lot of stuff I learned over that period of time. But there was a moment where I went, do you know, blow it. I don't even want this vision anymore. You can have it back. As I flung it back to heaven, it felt like God said, thank you. Now will you just listen? And I've spent nearly 15 years in my farming capacity, working with young people who were struggling for whatever reason. And over that period of time, God showed me that he was right and that I'd interpreted it wrong. Because actually, over that period of time, I was a youth pastor. I wasn't called it. I didn't own that as a title. But I functioned as a pastor to those kids. And I looked after them. I challenged them on all sorts of stuff, from spiritual to physical to emotional needs. And I was fulfilling something of the destiny and the purpose that God had placed on me for that period of time. But it really highlighted to me the fact that so easily we can try and shortcut that destiny. We can misunderstand or misinterpret what God has called us to do. Or, as is so often the case, God will tell us something and we'll go, okay, God, that's brilliant. Let me give you some ideas on how this can happen. Let me tell you how it's going to work, because I've got some great ideas. And sometimes we can go, well, you know, God's called me to this or God's called me to that. And actually, this is really tough. Let's bypass the tough stuff and let's just do it our way. Now, it's not our destiny to be having a life of suffering and tough times and all of that. It just does happen, you know. But that doesn't take away from the fact that when God has said something, when God has given us a destiny and a purpose to fulfill, we need to make sure that we stay in his will and that we don't try and shortcut. Because when we shortcut, when we shortcut God's plan and purpose, we miss the point, and we can miss where we're really truly meant to be. Fourthly, put wise counsel around you. And that's really important, to make sure that you have got the right people around. Not when times get tough, not when you're in a crisis and go, all right, who shall I turn to? Make sure that you have got the right people around you so that when life gets tough, you've got people to carry you and to advise you who are in tune with the will of God for your life as well. That doesn't mean having 20 people that you're having deep open heart surgery with all the time. You know, we don't need to do that, but we do need to have, you know, people around us that we know have got our backs, that we know are praying for us and who are seeking God for us. And then lastly, be people of grace and mercy. I love this description of grace and mercy. Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve, but grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Yeah, does that make sense? Mercy is not getting something that you do deserve. Grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Let's go back to that cave. Saul, in one sense, debatably, deserved to die, because, you know, he was declaring war on David. It's the rules of war, if you like. David could have quite legitimately killed him and justified it in those circumstances in that period of time. But he chose to show Saul mercy. He chose to show Saul mercy. Why? Because it was the right thing to do. Because it was the godly thing to do. But he goes a step further. He shows grace. How does he show grace? Saul, when he's shouting back up at him, and when he recognizes that he one day will become king, he says, when that day comes, will you look after my family, whatever's left of them? And David promises that he will do that. That's grace. That is grace, because Saul didn't deserve that honor to be bestowed on him, because he had fluffed it all up. He had got himself into the wrong place with God. his heart was hardened to the will of God. Therefore, he did not deserve any of the favor of David on him. But David shows grace. And when we're going through our tough times and things that are difficult, and particularly in the context of times that are caused by other people, you know, don't forget sometimes we ourselves can be the cause of other people's tough times, and we have to deal with that and repent of that. We all get it wrong, but quite often the tough times that we go through are often because of relational problems or things that other people have done that affect us. Even though it's tough, I don't think it was easy for David to do that. Even though it's tough, we need to be people of grace and mercy. And you know, when we do that, it brings something so powerful about. Because at the end of that passage that was read, you know, that recognition that David's destiny was to be king was recognized by the one who was trying to snuff out that destiny. Who was David's most famous descendant? Jesus. That's a good one, isn't it? Do you know that whole thing, the Sunday school thing? Well, I think the answer must be Jesus. You're right, it's Jesus. So Jesus was a direct descendant of David. David was in this instance showing a foretaste of what Jesus came to do in showing grace and mercy. That's the reason why we're here, isn't it? Because Jesus showed us mercy. We deserve the punishment of death, but he spared us by taking it on himself. Amazing, isn't it? And he has put and shown his grace to us by not only rescuing us and saving us and not giving us what we do deserve, he has lavished on us stuff that we simply don't deserve. You know, we are co-heirs with Christ. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We have access to the throne room of heaven. When we pray, we don't have to go through a whole procedure of people who might allow us into God. We have direct access. We are friends of God. Wow. You know, I want to be somebody who reflects that in the way that I handle tough times or tough people. I don't get it right all the time. I know I don't. But I want to strive to be more like Jesus and more like David, who had really understood that. Just as we finish, let's just allow the Holy Spirit to just challenge us on some of that this morning. You know, it's so important. We're talking about feasting and medicine and all of that. It's so important that we actually apply the Word of God to our lives. And I want us just to take a moment this morning and just reflect on whatever the Holy Spirit might just be prompting in your lives at the moment. If you're going through a tough time at this moment in time, then just take on some of those thoughts that I've shared this morning and ask God to help you. Help you to have the right perspective. Help you to know or to confirm to you what his will and destiny is. And just decide in your spirit this morning that I know that this is not my destiny to be going through this. I will come out the other side because God has a greater destiny. But also decide that you're not going to shortcut God's will for your life. And that you're going to stay on the right path with him. And that you're going to make sure that you put the right people around you. But most of all, let's be asking God to help us to be people of grace and mercy. And if you're here this morning and you've never really been in that relationship with Jesus where you feel like you've really experienced knowing his mercy and his grace, then I just want to say to you this morning that actually it is so easy. You know, God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. And he wants to live life with you. And all you need to do is accept him. And what I'd say to you this morning, if there's anybody here who's in that place and just needs to get themselves into a relationship with him, then you really need to come and talk to one of us afterwards, because we would love to just help you and introduce you to him this morning. But just as we wrap up this morning, let's set our spirits right for the week ahead in the context of all of this.